IllbeHonest.com.
You want your children saved. No matter what else happens, you want your children saved. I've entitled my message, Parenting to Please God. We want a parent to please God. But I don't think the two things are a contradiction with each other. That the very way to parent in order to please God is the way to parent in order to do everything you can do to bring your children to faith in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we considered that your word teaches that women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness. And you didn't just say that, but you said, yet she shall be saved. Over against Eve leading mankind into transgression, yet women have been given salvation through a life. They're being saved by Christ. If they continue in this, we looked at that. A woman has the ability to offset the effects of the fall and the curse by a godly, faithful, loving life invested in her children. Lord, that truth doesn't stand. If our ladies parent their children and they all perish, it doesn't stand. Lord, you've told fathers to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's an assumption there that if a father will seek to do that, they actually will be brought up in that nurture and discipline and instruction. Lord, we ask you to have mercy on our children and have mercy on us parents and help us, Lord. Help us to be everything that we need to be to please you. Lord, ultimately, whether our children are saved or not, we want to live lives that please you and glorify you. Oh, Lord, you've given us a burden to see our children saved. We want that. Lord, we don't want our children to perish. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us help today in this hour. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. I have three what I believe are very clear. I may hit on more in the future, but I want to start out with three aspects to parenting that clearly please the Lord. Three things that ought to be true. The first one is more of an attitude. The second one has to do with getting to a place where we can parent. And the third one has to do with what ought to be probably the most important focus, at least if the weight of what Scripture has to say about children is taken into consideration. What ought to be primary in our parenting in order to please the Lord? I'm primarily speaking right this second to those of you that have children. Right this second. The whole message, I think it applies to us all. But parents, have you ever noticed that the seems like people who seem to know how to parent, the experts, they're typically not the ones with children, right? I can remember Craig telling me, this is the same guy that wanted his wife to call him Lord. Which, by the way, Craig said he's still not married. He was not only an expert in wives, he was an expert in children as well. And I can remember Craig telling me this guy came over and hung out at his house, and Craig was just shaking his head. He said he was putting the children to bed at a time when this guy was at his house, and he was just an authority on how the children ought to be brushing their teeth. And, that's typically the way it is. Basically, the fact is, it's amazing how quick our child-rearing philosophies and all of our expertise get replaced by utter bewilderment and confusion once you actually have the crib full and that little girl's just wailing at the top of her lungs at 3 a.m. and you have no idea why. A lot of theories go out the window right at that moment. Memory of mine is of my wife crying in the morning as I'm headed out to work because she didn't want to be home alone with Charity all day. Until you've been there, there is tremendous, tremendous wisdom in being slow to offer your counsel and advice if you have not had children. Now look, you can be single and a student of the Bible, and you can see and learn truth and wisdom, and you can impart it to a parent who may not see it. But be like Elihu. Be very slow. Let the others speak first before you chime in. But if you don't have children, you obviously, if you're a Christian, you can have some things to offer. But my brother and sister, be slow. Look, that being said, a lot of our theories tend to go out the window when we actually get children. But the fact is this. God does, in fact, give us good advice and good counsel in His Word. And you know what the truth is? There are actually some good parents in this world. And though a lot of us start out with a whole lot of confusion and a whole lot of uncertainty, there are parents that have done a really good job. There are parents that have heeded what God has had to say in His Word, and God has blessed it. I mean, that's just a fact. And so, and you know what? There is a way to parent so as to please the Lord. There is. And so we never want to look at this thing like it's hopeless, like it's just... And you know what? Some of us might be saved at such a time in our life where the children, they're not babies anymore. And maybe some of the foundations you haven't laid down, maybe some of the key things that you're going to hear about, you haven't done yet. You know when the best day to start is? Today. Now. None of us can undo what we've lost in the past. Can't undo that. But what we can do is we can start now. That's the best we can do. And hope that God's going to help us. Look, some of you might get in a place where you adopt a child. And that child may be 7 years old. You don't have the opportunity to invest in the first 7 years of that life. You may get a child that's already got all sorts of problems. They don't have good foundations. The best we can do is we can take what God has said and take these principles and start right now. Brethren, that's the title of my sermon. Parenting to Please God. And look, let me tell you this. Don't pass over that title too quickly. Because there is immense pressure to parent to please man. Immense pressure. And I can tell you what, if anybody in the world feels that, Christians do. And you know why? I can give you a couple reasons. One, because Christians tend to be people, of all people in this world, that take parenting seriously. And you know what happens? You oftentimes, I had this happen, a lost dad. And he hears I'm spanking my daughter. And he's like, threatening me from Michigan that he's going to call Child Protective Services on me. Well, with my dad, that was an idle threat. But with some parents, that's not an idle threat. And you've got often lost parents and lost grandparents and lost co-workers and lost this and that and people that think like the world, and they want to come in and put pressure on you to raise your children a certain way. I tell you, there are not too many lost grandparents that like to see you haul their grandchildren into the bathroom and give them good paddling. Most grandparents have a problem with that. Even some saved ones get kind of stretched at times. But you know what else? The truth is that the Bible doesn't give us incredible amounts of detail about all different aspects of parenting. Now, it tells us some basic principles. But the problem is, it doesn't tell you when to start spanking. It doesn't tell you when to potty train. It doesn't tell you all sorts of things about parenting. And what happens is, we have no end to men and women who want to come along and establish a ministry or write a book or become some authority on those things that the Bible doesn't have a whole lot to say about. There's all sorts of opinions and models and books and approaches that are pressed on the Christian and often pressed. Look, you'll get these things pressed on you in a way that if you don't comply, there are people who are ready to look down at you as though you're inferior. I remember a big Reformed Baptist church up in Michigan. And I remember one of the pastors saying that he was actually concerned because many people came to call or contact that church, seeing them as kind of the model. And he mentioned with regards to children or parenting or homeschooling or birthing, and everybody wanted to know how to do it the Reformed Baptist way. Like there's this accepted way and we've got to comply to it. You've got focus on the family out there with their way and agenda. You got Bill Gothard and he's got his way. And you know, a lot of times people that fall into these groups, it's like if you don't do it their way, you're inferior. When the fact is, Scripture really has not said anything about that. And you know what it is, brethren, when you have men and women who press their commandments on people, do you know what that is? I can tell you this, that isn't pleasing to the Lord. I mean, look, it might be a good thing if I'm out working in the garden or something and my hands are dirty, my wife calls me in to eat a piece of pizza, I probably don't want to take it, just all covered with filth, grab hold of that pizza and eat it. But if you come along and tell me that I have to wash my hands, you're out of bounds. And I'm not saying that because I think that, I'm saying that because Jesus said that. And it's no different in parenting. If you come along and tell me I have to raise my children a certain way and the Bible doesn't back that, then you're no different. You are setting forth as doctrine the commandments of men. And there is so much of that in Christian circles. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So many theories, so many ideas and plans and systems that God simply doesn't demand. And brethren, this is no small thing. Look, any one of those systems might have some good things to offer. I'm not saying they're all of the devil. All I'm saying, look, it's a good... The Pharisees might be onto something. You know, you might want to wash your hands before you eat. But when you say it, lay it down as a tradition, and you lay it down as mandatory, you lay it down as the rule and as the system, then you're legalistic. So we don't want to go there. So our agenda is this. Not to figure out what men want to press upon us. Our agenda is this. What does indeed God have to say about what pleases Him when it comes to our parenting? That's what we want to figure out. What does God-pleasing parenting look like? Well, that's what I want to look at today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We'll go back to verse 1. Children. Okay? I think we need to stop right there. For starters, there are children. That profound, Scott. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, have you ever just sat down and thought? Living human beings come forth from the union of a man and a woman. I tell you, you're not a parent long, and you look at that child and you think, how did that happen? That is just, it is. Children are a miracle. They're absolutely, absolutely a miracle. And we tend to take it so much for granted because it just happens all the time. I mean, it doesn't just happen, but it does happen all the time. I mean, we have the psalmist. He's saying, this is, Lord, Psalm 139:13, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, children are a miracle. And let me tell you this. The Lord would have us to realize that when you get one, it's a blessing. It's not only a miracle, it's a blessing for you to get a child. It needs to be said in our day. One of the very first steps towards parenting that pleases the Lord is this. It's that we realize how much of a blessing it is that the Lord creates children and gives them to us. How do I know that it's so important to feel this way, think this way, have this mindset? Because God literally hits this truth over and over and over and over again when He talks about children. Right there in the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 27, it says this, speaking of the first man and woman, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Blessing is attached to their multiplication, to their having children. Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Here's how He spoke to Abraham. Isaiah 51 verse 2 tells us this. Abraham was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. To the nation of Israel it was said, just listen to this, get a feel for this. Because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep you, will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love that he swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb. And on that goes, blessing after blessing after blessing. But the fruit of the womb. Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You will eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Brethren, I hope it's obvious. The Lord wants us to know that children are a blessing. We need to raise children believing that. We live in a selfish generation. You think with me. Do you think this is a ready and realistic attitude in this world, in our day? That people go around, by and large, thinking children are a blessing? I don't see that. I see women who look at their children and think they're a snare. I see women by the millions who look at their children and would rather kill them than have them. Why? Because it might let on that they were sexually immoral. Because it's going to conflict with their education. It's going to be a bother to them. It's going to destroy their freedom. If you think our society, by and large, looks at children as a blessing today, you're wrong. That is not the attitude. Shuffle them off somewhere else. Get them out of my life. They're not going to interfere. Or just put them to death. Just tear them limb from limb. God says that is not the right mindset for children. Children are a blessing. They're a blessing. It says that the fruit of the womb is a reward. Children are valuable. Children are a treasure. Brethren, the Lord does not use the term blessing lightly. He doesn't overuse it. He doesn't exaggerate. Look, why are children such a blessing? I tell you this, they bring laughter and life into a home. Right? Your home sounds different than it did 2 years ago. I know sometimes we wish for a little quiet, but the chatter and the laughter of children is not a curse, folks. Scripture says children bring gladness and great rejoicing. You can find that in the Proverbs. They're God's gift of love, parents. I'll tell you this, there may not be a whole lot of people in this world that love you, but your children do. And if they don't, it's because you have done such things to them to turn their love away. By nature, children come forth. You can have just an idiot of a father, and his son loves him. Now that father may eventually alienate that son, that's true. But by nature, that son wants to be like his dad. He wants to be with his Children love their parents. What a blessing when God gives you children. If anybody in the world loves you, your children. And children give you grandchildren. That's a glory to a man with gray hair, right? And children are there to take care of you in your old age, if you train them right. God help us not have parents that are going to shuffle us off like so many parents do to their children. Their children pay them back later, right? The parent sends them off to the daycare. The child sends them off to where? That's the way life is today, right? It's not supposed to be that way. I tell you, having children that'll take care of you in your old age, that's a blessing. Children are a blessing, and God's Word sets it forth that way. They're there at the end to close your eyes on this fleeting life. Folks, never, never look at children as a curse or as a headache or as an obstacle to your joy. Do you know what Scripture sets forth as an obstacle to your joy? Not having them. Have you ever heard Rachel? She says to Jacob, "Jacob, give me children or I die." That's the attitude of Scripture. Listen, Hannah had no children. Did you see how she went up to the temple and she would weep? The tabernacle, I guess, in that day. But we have 1 Samuel 1:10. She was deeply distressed. Prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Why? Because she didn't have children. How about Elizabeth? You come to Zacharias and Elizabeth there in Luke chapter 1. Do you know what? She was barren. And when God opened her womb, she said this, "God looked on me to take away my reproach." With a biblical mindset, not being able to have children is a reproach. So we don't want to ever have this mindset. Children are a blessing, whether God has given them to you by opening the womb or by adoption. And we really need to have this proper God-centered mindset about children, especially in the midst of this child aborting, birth control crazy, small family oriented generation. Blessing, blessing, blessing. I want you to feel that. We know this. Look, we know this pleases the Lord when we look at our children and we don't count them as a dead weight in our life. We look at them as a blessing. I remember Norm Wakefield. His son had, daughter rather, has Down syndrome. And I remember when he was here and he was preaching, he was saying when he first found out she had that, his mindset was to complain. He didn't want that. But he has found that daughter to be such a blessing to him. I can imagine there's times when the Haneys have thought, "Oh Lord, Sammy, if he could have just made her healthy." But I guarantee that when they have lived, they can already say it, but when they are done with their lives, they will realize what a blessing Sammy has been to them. Listen, God does not send us children. He doesn't send His children to curse us. Not at all. So that's the first thing. Just counting them a blessing. Second thing is this. The Lord isn't pleased that we just consider children to be a blessing. He is pleased to actually have us have children. Brethren, this was so from the very beginning. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." By the way, that is an imperative in the Hebrew. That is a commandment. Be fruitful and multiply. And it wasn't just said to Adam and Eve. Who else was it said to? Anybody know? Not specifically like that. said to Noah. Genesis 9, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then it was said again to them, Genesis 9, 7, you be fruitful and multiply, teem on the earth and multiply in it. And then in Genesis 35, God said, not to Abraham, but to Jacob, the same thing. God said, your name is Jacob, no longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel, and God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. Now here's the thing, somebody could come along and say, well, yeah, but that was just a commandment to Adam, and that was a commandment to Noah, and that was a commandment to Jacob, it isn't to us. Wait a second. What was the commandment? The commandment was this, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That commandment was not just to those three, because those three could not do that. I mean, clearly, that is what we would call a creation ordinance. I mean, listen to this. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This is a commandment to all men. It's done there right at creation. And by the way, this has never been repealed or revoked. I mean, we know this. It's not good for the man to be alone. Yet when we come into the New Testament, we also find that there's Jesus first and then Paul after that saying, but look, for the gospel's sake, for serving the Lord, there's a place to not get married. But the same thing is not said about be fruitful and multiply. There's simply nothing said that if a couple get married, that there's a place for them not to be fruitful and multiply. I mean, clearly the assumption always is, you have the Apostle Paul, he's dealing with people. I mean, he says to Titus, Titus, have the older women teach the younger women to love their children. The assumption is they're going to have them. When Paul's dealing with Timothy, he says, Timothy, you tell those younger widows this, get married and bear children. He tells Timothy, women are saved through childbearing. There's always an assumption here. That is a regular normative assumption, a creation ordinance. Paul always assumed it, that this creation ordinance is just good. It's the norm. It's the way people are going to live. Now look, I understand the Lord may close the womb. But as far as our responsibility, I mean, it seems that that imperative is still standing to this day. So, we shouldn't really have it this world's mindset, this take-it-or-leave-it mentality with regards to children. For the Christian, we should count it our privilege and as a blessing of great reward. And so, clearly it pleases the Lord that we count children a blessing, and it pleases the Lord that we actually are fruitful and multiply. And those seem to be two clear realities. Now, I realize I'm not getting all that from Ephesians chapter 6, but you see that these things flow off the pages of Scripture. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. Here's a third thing I want you to consider this morning about parenting that pleases the Lord. Children. Okay, children are a blessing. Children we ought to be having. Well, when we count them a blessing and we actually go and have them, here is what those children are to do. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now check this out. Here is the heart of parenting responsibility. Right here. It's to bring your children into obedience to you. Now, I know that this verse, verse 1, is specifically speaking to children, not to parents. I mean, clearly the commandment right here is not to parents. It's to children. But nevertheless, don't miss the reality of what's being said here. If this is a primary responsibility for my children, then as a parent, that ought to be my primary responsibility to bring them to where they are doing what God is commanding them to do. And I'm not just making that up, and I'm not just being creative. This, in fact, is what God does tell us very plainly in verse 4. We have, there is a way that we are to be instructing our children, but more to the point with regards to obedience and submission. Listen to this. First Timothy chapter 3 says this, verse 4, he must manage his household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Let me ask you something. Who is this speaking to or about? Speaking to Timothy about whom? What's that? What is it? Elders. Elders. Here's a qualification of an elder. He needs to keep his children submissive. In other words, God commands the child to be obedient. Then the responsibility of the parent is to keep the child submissive. Now look, why must an elder keep his children submissive? Well, he's a leader. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, very specifically, that they are to be, elders are to be examples to the flock. We could find that over in Hebrews chapter 13 as well. You are to imitate. So, look, leaders in the church have to have this because the leaders in the church are who all the rest of the people in the church need to be imitating. You need to be following that example. You have that responsibility. This is right at the heart of parenting. So, as I'm looking through the New Testament, and I find, okay, well, what is said about children? Well, you have Jesus Christ in Matthew 15 say, honor your father and your mother. Right here in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Let me tell you this. When you come to these long lists of sin that are given in Scripture, when man ceases to acknowledge God, when man grows hard and haughty and proud and God-hating and seeking his own pleasure, what is always true of that generation? Disobedient to parents. You find that in Romans 1, verse 28. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. You know what ought not to be done, and you know what's characteristic of a debased mind and of somebody who doesn't see fit to acknowledge God? Right there in verse 30, along with all these other not so beautiful characteristics. Slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. You have the same thing in 2 Timothy 3. Understand this, in the last days, there are going to come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Brethren, there's no other single reality stressed in the New Testament concerning children than that children need to obey and submit to their parents. You as a parent have a responsibility to bring this about. By the way, it's not just New Testament. The Old Testament chimes in very clearly here. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Parents, one of the primary God-pleasing obligations as a parent is to manage your household well, keeping your children submissive. But why? Why? I mean, certainly God doesn't require things of us that are not important. Why? Well, the Bible's not silent on the reasons why. One, Ephesians 6:1. What does it tell us? Why should children obey their parents? It's right! Folks, it's right. I mean, if there's one thing you want to do as a parent, is you want to lead your children in paths of righteousness. You want to lead them in the direction of... How many of you want to lead your children in a path that's wrong? Clearly, to allow your children to be disobedient is wrong. Set them in the paths of righteousness. Folks, it's only righteousness that delivers in the day of judgment. How about this? It's Christ-like. Do you know there in Luke 2, we have really the only picture that we have in all of Scripture is Jesus Christ as a child. And as Luke sums up at the very end of the chapter what Jesus' life looked like as a child, here's what he says, verse 51. And he, Jesus, went down with them, that's Joseph and Mary, and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Here's young Jesus, increasing in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. And what's that look like? Submission to his parents. One of the, at least the mentioned, of all the things that he could have said that represented his life, that represented wisdom and stature and favor, he says he was submitting to his parents. How about this? Third, one, it's right. Two, it's Christ-like. Three, right at the heart of our whole sermon. I'm talking to you about parenting that pleases the Lord. And listen to this. How do we please the Lord in our parenting? Well, clearly, when you parent your child to obey in everything, this pleases him. How do I know that? Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything. Why? For this pleases the Lord. It's pleasing to the Lord. But how about this? How about a fourth reason? It leads to eternal life. You say, ooh. If you don't think so, then maybe you're not understanding Scripture aright. Maybe you're not understanding evangelism the right way. Listen. Take parents. Take this to heart. Proverbs 4:20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. This means obey me. Do what I'm telling you. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them. He's not talking to dead children here. What does he mean by life? He's not talking physical life. He's talking spiritual life, eternal life. He's saying, son, if you will heed what I tell you, if you will obey what I tell you, if you will take these things and apply them and keep them within your heart, they will be life to you. God designed it this way, parents. Parents, your child's good is and must be your controlling motive. Do we not live in the belief that whatever might become of our children, that if they gain the whole world and they lose their souls, they've lost everything. And yet Scripture comes along and says the path to everything has a lot to do with parents. Listen to this. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment. Now we might come along and say, well, shouldn't he be keeping the Lord's commandment? Yeah, but you see, folks, God is telling you to keep your children obedient to you. And what I'm showing you is, if your heart is after God's, if your heart is after His truth and His ways and His righteousness, and you seek through your commandments and through your rules and through your discipline and through your instruction to impart to that child, that, then what happens is, this can be said, my son, keep your father's commandment, forsake not your mother's teaching, bind them on your heart, always tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment, what commandment? The commandment of the parents is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. When you instruct and discipline that child, you are setting them on the way of life. That's what Scripture teaches. Brethren, we are people who God has called to live by faith. And this is one of the things He's called you to live by faith in. That you raise your children in this kind of discipline and instruction of the Lord. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there's hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. You know what Scripture's implying? Guess what? All these people disobedient to parent, they're people that don't acknowledge God. That is the path of death. He's saying, if you don't discipline, if you don't raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, if there's no discipline, if there's no rod, if there's no correction and instruction and rebuke, if there's no bringing your children into submission, you're killing your children. One of the Proverbs says you hate them. And you can say, well, no, I don't. I love them. That's why I don't spank them. Listen, God says you hate them. Because what you're doing is you're allowing that children to go his own way. Children that go their own way die. Children that a parent, a Christian parent, will seek to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God said when He was looking at going down and destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, He said this, I have chosen Abraham that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. You have Joshua saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You have fathers who are saying, my children are going this way, and going to their children and saying, child, the world out there can say, parents shouldn't force their religion on their children. That's not what God says. God says, you take those children under your arm and you say, child, as for you and me, we're going this way. And you take them with you. And you see, what happens is, someone's going to say, well, how can this be? Doesn't my child need to be saved first? No, brethren. This is how children are saved. You see, one of the problems with having a church that's heavily first-generation Christian is we don't know this. You see, what happens is, like me, I wasn't raised in a Christian family. I wasn't raised with godly standards. I wasn't raised with the Bible opened up. I wasn't raised where prayer was made. I was raised where it was godless, God-rejecting, and basically, I went my own way. I lived in all the sins of my dad and my stepdad and my mom. And what happened when I was 25 years old, contrary to everything good, there was contrary to all my upbringing, contrary to all the bad parenting, contrary to all of it, God came in there and plucked me out. And I have a feeling that's the case it's been with many of you. You were saved absolutely contrary to your upbringing. God showed you mercy when everything about your upbringing spelled damnation. But you see, the problem is we take that thinking into our parenting. And we say, well, what had to happen to me in order for this radical change to come is I had to be born again. I had to be saved. And so we look at this thing as this one-time event in life, and without it, there's no hope. Now listen, obviously children do need to be born again, or they will never see the kingdom of God. But listen, the assumption in Scripture, the assumption in evangelism, since when did you ever see Jesus Christ approach somebody and say, well, your problem is you need to be saved? Never. Never. You know what He came up to men and He did? He said, what you need to do is you need to go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And you need to come spend your life following Me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. That's how Jesus spoke. That's how we need to speak to our children. Children, we're following Christ. Come on. There's none of this, well, you need to be saved first. You know what happens when we tell sinners that? You basically justify your children in their sin. Because what you're telling them is, well, basically, God's got to come do this thing to you, and until He does, you're just not very responsible for your sin. Because, after all, you're dead in trespasses and sins, and there's no hope for you, and you've got to be made alive in Christ. Now, look, all these realities are true. But all I'm saying is, that's not the way we talk. That's not the way Jesus talked. Not when He was dealing with the sinners evangelistically. And that is not the way to deal with our children. You do not excuse the sinner because of his sin. You do not say, well, you need to be saved, therefore you're excused until you are. That was never it. Jesus always went to men and He said, let's lay it on the line right here. Follow Me. That's it. That's what He did. He didn't say, Peter, Andrew, I need you to follow Me, but I know my Father has to save you first. And when that happens, then you guys come. That wasn't it. He said, follow Me. And guess what? They came. Matthew, follow Me. This is what we say to our children. Children, follow. And what you're going to find as you come along with Me, you're going to find Jesus Christ is very forgiving. And He's very gracious. And I want to tell you all about the cross. Can I tell you something, parents? You can beat your children into submission. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about you correcting your children, you showing them the right way, you spanking them if they're not obeying you. But all the time, as you're demanding their obedience, remember, this discipline and instruction is that of the Lord. It's the kind that pleases the Lord. It's the kind that makes Christianity desirable, beautiful. We want to set it before our children that, look, spanking you is setting you... Our Father chastens us. Why does He do it? Do you and I, if we have a proper biblical estimation of discipline, do we look at His chastening as a bad thing? As a wicked thing? As a harsh thing? No. Why don't we? Because we know He means it for our good. Listen, you spank your children only when you're mean and agitated and selfish. Your children are going to grow up and resent you, and with you they're going to resent your religion. Listen, when they're small, of course you can get them to sit there like wooden soldiers in a seat if you whip them enough. But I'll tell you what, if there's love behind that, If you're constantly showing them Jesus Christ is beautiful, He is so worthy to be followed, He ushers in eternal life. Look, I can't guarantee you, as Christ could not eliminate, or did not, absolutely He could have done this, but look, there was the Judas, there was the Demas, they fell out. Are some of our children in the course of time going to end up disobeying their parents and going their own way? Very possibly, yes. But I'll tell you this, God does not come along and spend all these words and all this time to tell us, parents, teach your children to keep your commandments, and if they do it, there is life. And in this, parents, we need to give ourselves. We need to be just like Christ with that rich young ruler. We need to call them children. We need to be like Abraham. He commanded his household in the ways of the Lord. We need to be like Joshua. We need to say, children, we're going this way. You're in a Christian home. We're living as Christians. We're following Him. We need to show them that Christ is trustworthy, that Christ is good. We need to talk to them as though they are responsible. You're responsible. Look, this one-time salvation event, you don't need to talk to them that way. You need to show them life is in Jesus Christ. Come. And you follow Me as I'm following Him, you will have glory at the end of this. That's how Scripture talks. It doesn't isolate this one-time salvation event like it's this demarcation to where you begin to follow Christ. It's never that. Don't talk to your children that way. If you talk to them that way, don't be surprised that they end up. Listen, God is a user of means. And clearly, if His instruction to parents is primarily discipline, instruction in the Lord, submission to your authority, then be certain it is the means that God has given to doing your children the greatest good. Be certain of it. God did not give you this merely so that you could harden them so that they become all the more twofold the children of hell. God has given this for good. So with love and warmth, we press our children to believe that obeying us pleases the Lord, and constantly show them the Lord is just such the sort of person we should want to please. We need to show Him that He's a help to us when we're weak. He forgives us when we fall. Show them the cross often, and never, 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 ever excuse their wicked behavior, because in your estimation, you're looking at them and saying they're lost. Don't let them think that way. Well, you see, you implant that thinking in their head. Well, I'm lost. Therefore, lying, cheating, being mean to others, disobeying my parents, it's what lost people do. When I get saved, when God does that to me, then that's my out. Otherwise, right now, this is just kind of where I'm at. No way, no how. That's not how Jesus talked to people, and that is not how you should. When He saw people, He said, okay, be done with that and come. And if they came, they're in heaven today. If they walked away, they perished. That's what we say. And listen, children, unlike the rich young ruler, they love their parents. They want to be like their parents. You of all people God has put into their life to be able to... You know, when children are little, you can persuade them of anything. How many parents are out there today convincing their children there is a Santa Claus, and the children believe it until they reach a certain age? Right? So, I mean, the fact is, God has given us to the children to be tremendous influences. Discipline, instruct them. Let them know that You love them, that these are words of life, and that if they follow You, this is a good way. It's desirable. That this is more desirable. This is better than sex and drugs and music and all that the world has to offer. Show them what the end of all that leads to. Show them what Christ leads to. Tell them that pursuing understanding and wisdom with all their heart, they're going to achieve the glory. Teach them there are choices to be made. Brethren, I'll tell you this, there's a hyper-Calvinism that's pervaded today. We so much disclaim this decisionism today that it's like we've run choices right out the door. Do you know what they said in that day of Joshua said, "You choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, it's the Lord." There is a choice. Jesus didn't come to the rich young ruler and say there's no choice. He said, "Choose between your riches and me." Choice was made. Man walked away. He said to Peter on a different day, to Matthew on a different day, Andrew on a different day, James and John, "Follow me. Let those things go." And they came. There's choices to be made. You teach your children that. If you choose Christ, you will live. We've got too much hyper-Calvinism just ripe in our circles, folks. This is not the way to deal with children is, you know what? You're coming on me in this journey to Christ. Now, if you like Judas or like Demas are determined to run away at some point, that'll be your choice. But as for me and you're in my house, we're following the Lord. So children, come on. And you show them it is not a bad journey. It is not a distressful, it is not a dark and gloomy journey. It is a journey of life. It is a journey of joy. It is a journey of forgiveness. Train your children to make right choices. Salvation is a choice. Never, 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 ever forget that. And don't you ever forget too. You spare that rod, you hate that child. Part of taking them on this journey, there is a text, folks, that says that rod drives evil out of their heart. You say, well, how? God's going to take care of that. You look to Him in faith. You pray. You show your children there is a real God. He's real. He blesses His people. Christ is real. His salvation is real. You show them you delight in it. I guarantee you apply that rod and your children see a Christianity that's miserable and they see parents with long faces all the time and they see that this thing is ugly. Oh yeah, they'll run away. But not so. Oh, in many cases, we have every reason to believe that if we raise our children like this in a way that pleases the Lord, we have every reason to believe many of them are going to be saved. Every reason to believe it. Well, God help us, brethren.